The Cap of J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Good morning, everyone!
Third down and nine. Fields has time. Looking deep. Not there. Bernard chasing him. Fields eludes him. Fields is going to take off. Fields has room to run. He's got the first down. Into Houston territory and out of bounds. Herbert. Inside the 10. Still going at the 5. Turns his legs. And he's in. Touchdown, Chicago. Ebner, the running back, on second and 11. Fields fires over the middle, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Jalen Petrie, who lost the football but picks it back up. Mills throws up in the air and intercepted by Eddie Jackson. It is a touchback as Jackson comes up with his 12th career INT. Pierce behind Heck. And he is in for a touchdown. First NFL touchdown for Damian Pierce. It's Herbert on first down. He's got some room. Big haul for Herbert. Herbert into Houston territory. And Herbert is finally taken down by Derek Stingley. That is back deep for the Bears. It's a fake. Fake punt up the middle, and the Texans have it. Six to start the quarter. Fields deep over the middle looking for Mooney. Intercepted by Petrie. His second of the day. Petrie on the return and down at the 39-yard line. Field on third and one. Mills pass deflected. Intercepted. Roquan Smith. And Mills makes the tackle. Santos for the win. Win at the buzzer.
Highlights courtesy of CBS. And oh God, welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Jonathan Hood. David Kaplan is off today. He is observing Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish holiday, but we are glad that you're with us. We got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you until 10 o'clock for a three-hour ride here on this Bears Victory Monday. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going every day here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Also, we will want to hear from you today because if you're at Soldier Field, and I know that there's a lot of boos, there's a lot of cheers as well. If you're at Soldier Field or if you watched or listened to the game, we want to hear from you this morning here as the Bears defeat the Texans by the score of 23-20. So there was some good, there was some questionable, and some ugly in this one. And we will review it here this morning. As I sat at the Hood Cave in my, you know, next to my friend Alexander James Whiskey, I thought that this was a winnable game for the Bears against a Houston team that's still trying to find their way post Deshaun Watson. But the Bears kept opening the door and tried to give that game away yesterday. If it wasn't the pedestrian passing game, it was the subpar special teams big run back for Houston. If it wasn't that, it was the porous defense against the run. So let's start here with the offense. Justin Fields, 8 for 17, good for 106 yards and two interceptions, a quarterback rating of 19.7. Eight receptions for the receivers. Receivers had eight receptions, good for 106 yards. In this offensive league, it's abysmal. That just won't do. 16 targets to the receivers? No. That just won't do. It was great to see Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney get a couple of receptions. It was good for Kmet. I don't know. It's just game three, and Cole Kmet finally got his hands on the football. But that's just not offensive NFL football in 2022. Thank goodness for the 1984 offense that the Bears are running out there. This is the most production that we've seen from a team running the football since 1984. For those of you Gen Xers and baby boomers that lived through that in 1984, how glorious was it when Walter Payton and others were able to run the football and be able to help a team score? That's what offense was when I was growing up as a kid on the South Side watching Bears football. That 1984 offense that the Bears had run out there is the most production that we've seen in a long time. And shout out to the offensive line creating holes for Herbert and St. Brown and Fields and Ebner and Montgomery. 40 carries, good for 281 yards. It was working, so the Bears didn't want to move away from it. I totally get it. However, I will tell you this morning that this style of offense is not sustainable for long-term success if the goal is to win this year. The line deserves props to open up the running lanes. The passing game, though, is a whole different kettle of fish. It's a whole different story. Justin Fields was sacked 5 times. And what have you and I talked about the last few weeks here on Cap and J-Hood? What have we talked about? Getting the ball in the air. And guess what? He did get the ball in the air. 2 picks and 2 fumbles later. I mean, there was some connections that he made, as I mentioned earlier, but there was 2 picks and there was a couple of fumbles by Justin Fields. Growing pains. Growing pains for the Bears and grumble pains for us as Bears fans. We asked you the question last Friday. What's more important, Fields' development or wins this season? I want Fields to keep working and to be a cornerstone for this franchise. You can't be the quarterback of the future playing like, as he put, trash, as he said in his presser yesterday. It's not my term. It's his term. They play like trash offensively. How about this for a number this morning? See how this goes down with your coffee. Through 3 games, the Bears have 235 team passing yards. That's the fewest by any team since the 2002 Texans. And the 2021 Bears had 272 yards, by the way, at that time last season. Let me make sure it's very clear. It's so, so very difficult to win in this league. Those of us that's on the sidelines watching in our she sheds, our man caves, our garage, our bars, our lounges, at the crib watching the Bears, we just think, oh, because the Bears are at home, it's automatic. The Bears should win these games. Every time you turn on the Bears, you think they should win the games. But you know, it is so damn difficult to win in this league. Look across the NFL, how teams had to scratch and claw to try to be able to win games, how difficult it is to be able to win games. And the Bears were able to pull that out, and they were able to win. I saw on social media some of you saying, boy, the way the Bears played, it felt like a loss. Man, you'd rather beat the Texans than lose. Could you imagine this morning me starting the show at 7 a.m. saying, how do you lose to a Texans team that can't find their ass with their hands? But this is where you are in the NFL, that you made just enough plays to be able to get the job done, and you won the game. But I will tell you, as we look at the game, the offense is not sustainable. I know it. Justin Fields knows it. The coaching staff knows it. And so how does this get better? Well, this goes back to what I said all summer leading into where we are today. This is what it looks like when you're trying to figure out who can play and who can't. I can be displeased by what I saw on Sunday, but also have the understanding that, okay, it's a process. Because here's what we know. We know that under center, that's not Tom Brady. That's not Aaron Rodgers. That's not some of the upper echelon quarterbacks in the NFL. The hope is that he'll be able to grow into that, Justin Fields. As we talk about the Bears on a Bears Victory Monday with Jay Hood on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. How about the defense? Let me flip it on and talk about the defense. The defensive run defense has been brutal. And breaking news, you can run on the Bears defense and you can pass on them too. 245 passing yards for the Texans. 20 carries, good for 80 yards. Pierce was solid. What, 20 for 80, 92 total for the Texans as far as their running game is concerned. But, you know, what I look at with this defense is that just like the offense, there's a few that can make some plays still, like Eddie Jackson. I'm glad that the story came out from Andrew Catalan yesterday doing the play-by-play for this for CBS. He talked about the personal life of Eddie Jackson, the issues that he has going on in his life. And Eddie Jackson feels like, okay, now it's not the issues are not behind me, but I'm going to have these issues help me be able to grow as a person and as a football player. I'm hoping that we're going to see the Eddie Jackson that we saw a few years ago. And I think we're starting to see it. We had an interception in the first half. I really like that. But Roquan Smith, a guy that takes a beating on this show, not from me because I'm a Roquan Smith fan, but from my partner, a slow Quan Smith. I got this text and I'm going to use it now. Calling him slow Quan Smith. You know what Roquan did? Roquan gave you the game-winning play to set up the Santos field goal. I've always been a fan of Roquan Smith, and I know that in the offseason, him trying to find a trade and him getting on Instagram, you know, bearing his soul and saying that, hey, I'm not going to be here anymore. The Bears organization is not treating me fairly. Whatever happens with Roquan Smith, I just know, as I've said when he was drafted, when he was drafted, my phone blew up. Hey, Hood, you're a Georgia guy. What are we going to get from Roquan Smith? You know, I said for 10-plus years, if he stays in the Bears uniform, you ain't got to worry about Roquan Smith because he was a game changer at Georgia. And now you see him with the Bears. He's just a cornerstone. And he led the team in tackles, one, yes. And again, you can be able to go through the all 22 and go through all the tape that you want. All I know is that Roquan Smith is a difference maker, and he was able to make a difference to help the Bears yesterday. So I was very happy to see that. And the Bears were able to win without Jalen Johnson being on the team. And we'll break down some of the things that we saw in the game defensively. But what I'm telling you overall is that this team is 2-1. You'll take it, but there is a lot of work to be done. And I can't say I'm surprised. We were not just flapping our gums here all summer, sitting you up for this. And what we were saying here on the show is that it ain't going to be pretty. I think the ardent Bears fan, the knowledgeable Bears fan that loves this team understands, like, this is a new regime. It's going to take time. But for those that want to be able to fast forward through the season and think that this is a 10 or 11 win ball club, I mean, there's going to be some breaks in the schedule for the Bears, but also the Bears have to be able to take care of themselves. They have to take care of themselves. They cannot turn the football over. They have to play damn near perfect football, especially on the offensive side of the football, to win some of these coin flip games in the schedule. So let's open the phone line, Shay. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. If you got a chance to watch the game, I want to get your thoughts. Are the Bears prioritizing winning games over developing the quarterback? What'd you think of the offense and the defense for the Bears? We got open phone lines for you here on this Bears Victory Monday. The Bears win, but as you well know, I'm saying what the coaching staff is saying. There's work to be done. We will hear from Matt Eberflus, the head coach, next. It's a Bears Victory Monday. Captain Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10. And Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. That same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find the Bear Down podcast with Black and Abdallah. You need more Bears content? It's right there on the ESPN Chicago app. Just click Bear Down and boom, you're right in there with more Bears content. Glad you're in today. Cap is off today because of the Jewish holiday, but we're taking your phone calls. Bears Victory Monday. The Bears win. Could you imagine if they lost against the Texans? But it does concern me about what you see offensively because it's not sustainable. If you just watch the Bears, you think, oh, this is going to be just fine. As like the meme with the dog with the fire behind him. Like everything's fine. No problem. Did you watch the rest of the league? Did you watch some of these fantastic offensive displays across the league? That's what the league looks like today. It doesn't look like, you know, JV. I see varsity all across the league, Shay. I see varsity. What I see when I see the Bears JV, it's the sophomore game at 6, whereas you're waiting for the varsity game starts at 7:30.
Well, it looked better than whatever the hell that was on Sunday Night Football. I know that was no football game like I've ever watched. But yeah, I look at the Bears. At what point are we going to stop this whole deal about the offensive line just being abhorrent, like an affront to offensive football? Because I got to tell you, when I watched that game yesterday, I didn't think they were the best pass blocking unit that I've ever seen. I thought they were very far from the worst.
Yes.
I thought Fields held on to the ball too long. He's got to be more decisive. But when you've got a line that, look, this Houston defense gave up 2.7 yards per carry to the Colts. They have Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
They have Quentin Nelson on that offensive line. That's a talented football team. 2.7 yards per carry. You popped them for seven. You went and put damn near 300 yards on them. And your offensive line, that was non-negotiable. Look, you know we're going to run the ball. Guess what? We don't care if you know. We're going to pound this thing down your throat.
At some point, though, you've got to be able to get the ball down the field. And here's where we have to determine. If it's not now, then it's definitely moving forward, even past the Giants game coming up. So there is a blend of thoughts out there of, is Justin Fields handcuffed, or is it that he is unable to be able to read a defense on a regular basis? Again, no one's perfect at the position, but I just want to make sure it's clear that everyone's learning. Getsy, first-time offensive coordinator. Justin Fields with nobody over his shoulder. You know, a new first-year head coach that's making mistakes, which we'll review here throughout the show. But the point is, though, everyone's starting at job one. Everyone's starting from the beginning. And so there's where the growing pains will happen. I'm braced for it. Doesn't mean I accept it, though, as a Bears fan. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Let us go to the phone lines and talk to you. And we're going to hear from Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Bears, in just a moment. But first, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Let's say hello to Brian on ESPN 1000 on Cap and J Hood. Good morning, Bri.
What's up, buddy? How you doing today? I'm glad we can get some stuff done with Cap not here. I feel like we can accomplish some things.
Sometimes.
So I'm excited about that.
Maybe. He's still lurking. We're going to hear from him later.
Oh, okay. My bad. At least I'm glad we had this alone time together. So I was kind of thinking this last week, too, that, you know, one of my things, I'm not even a huge Bears fan, but I'm a huge football fan. I'm not anti-Eberflus. I think he's a professional coach. I think we see a difference between him and Nagy and how things are run. I'm not anti-Pace. Our GM, the GM for the Bears. I think he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
Fully. But maybe we're way closer to the finished product than we think we are. And maybe that's the problem. Like, everybody's hoping that we're going to look like the Buffalo Bills in a couple years, when really we're probably, like you were saying earlier, going to look more like the 1980s Bears, where we're just trying to run the ball. Because Eberflus, as a defensive-minded coach, he wants to control that ball. He wants to keep his defensive unit off the field as much as possible so they're fresh. That's what defensive coaches do. Like, I just wonder if we're not going to ever get what people think we're going to get eventually if we just give it time.
Let's address it away. Appreciate the telephone call. The hope is that Justin Fields will be able to help the Bears have balance offensively, Brian. That's what it comes down to. You can't just exclusively run the football without taking shots down the field and expect to win a whole bunch of games. The Bears were able to win yesterday, and thank goodness that they were able to get it done. But can I just tell you, it is unacceptable for Davis freaking Mills to outplay Justin Fields. Are you kidding me? On anyone's quarterback tiers list, Davis Mills probably is down there with Justin Fields, but Davis Mills, whatever you think of him, he did have two interceptions, but 20 for 32, good for 245 yards. 92 yards rushing, he was able to connect to his receivers. That's just not good enough. Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Bears, trying to instill confidence in Justin Fields.
Yeah, I just think that is when you're working with a young quarterback in a new offense, I think that the people around him have to be solid and have to be good. So that's important for us, meaning that the protection has to be good, the run game has to be good, the defense has to be really good, okay? And special teams, we got to be awesome. And what you do is you support that quarterback while he's growing. Why he's going through this, and there's going to be good, there's going to be things that he has to improve on, but that's in the whole football team. The whole football team's like that. We all watched the game, we all saw it. We need to improve. Just, I thought we took a step in the right direction, improving our football team from week two to week three, and we're going to have to continue to do that. You know, we're a young group, not only a young offense, we're a young defense, we got a young group across the board, and it's about being technically fundamentally sound. Like, for example, on defense, we said we wanted to improve on tackling and the run defense. Well, we did that. Was it perfect? No. It wasn't perfect, but we need to improve. So that's just where we are. We're in the developmental stage. We want to improve every single week and get better. And it's certainly good to do when you win the game, too.
You see, he understands, like I think most of us understand. If you listen to that minute soundbite we just heard there. And by the way, as I was watching the press conference, the audio guy in me wanted to just drive to Soldier Field and just hit the on button. So it wouldn't sound like this.
It sounds more like this.
I was hoping. I just wanted to just reach out and grab the mic and turn it on for him.
They had Cap down there working the mic.
It sounded like it. But did you hear the sound bite, though, Shay? Did you hear him? He sounded like a college basketball coach. We got a young group, and we're trying to develop. That's exactly what it is.
But you notice what he's saying. We want to develop the football team. We want to develop every part of this team.
Yeah.
He didn't say the word quarterback one time.
Because it's all-encompassing. That's why. You know why? Because he sees it like I think I see it, and I think most Bears fans understand. He says, we got to develop this team. He sees the roster, goes, we got to fix the offense. This defense is not opportunistic. They're not getting takeaways the way I like it. They're not getting to the quarterback. Yeah, we got a young group. He sees it. He's telling you the truth. Most coaches would lie. We got more than enough to win every single Sunday. He's telling you the truth. But he's not giving himself an out. He's actually just telling you, like, I'm here because the team was screwed up last year or last few years. So I'm here to try to fix the problems on this football team. I get it. I'd rather have that as a truth than you say, we got more than enough. I didn't see any mistakes out there. We're just going to look at the film. No, he's just telling you, like, yeah, the tackling isn't very good. You're not stepping into your gaps. Our offense isn't very good. We got a young group, but week to week, we're going to try to fix this thing. I appreciate the honesty because that's what it is. You may not accept it, but that's exactly what Bears football is.
Well, I agree. And that's a lot of people, I think, want to write this coach and this regime off. And it's way too early to be doing that. A lot of people I see are talking about same old Bears, same old offense. They can't move the ball. Looks terrible, this and that. No, I actually think that they've chosen a lane. I think they are aware of what they have. They don't believe in this quarterback. But that's kind of the reality that this team's going to have to face is, look, you hired two guys to come in here and rebuild something with a quarterback who they didn't pick. And the way that they're treating him in game, I don't feel like they could possibly be seeing enough throughout the week to be like, we can put this game on his arm. So they're going to do what they're going to do. And then I have a feeling when we get to the offseason, they're going to move on. But we'll see what happens. I'm not ready to write off Fields. I'm not ready to write off these coaches. But that's the way it looks to me after 3 weeks.
And Peoria, here's Derek on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Jay Hood. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Hey, something I kind of noticed yesterday. I think they're more worried, about winning games. Because obviously if they're worried about, developing Fields, not so much the game, they'd be throwing it a ton. But another thing I also noticed was they're just being very predictable. Mm-hmm. They're doing run, run, pass. And they just can't really get any continuity going after they get a good pass going.
Derek, I'm glad you checked in. Appreciate your phone call. Brooklyn, New York, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. There he is. It's Derek on Cap and Jay Hood. What's up, D?
Yo, good morning, Jay Hood, Shay. How y'all doing today? Happy Bears Victory Monday and all that.
Yes, sir. What do you think, man? You saw it. What do you think?
Man, I'm sitting in my living room and I'm just sitting under my mouth is just dropping because it's like the Bears offensive line run wise, they're great. Pass wise, definitely need a lot of work. But the time that he did have a pocket to throw the ball with time, like Shay said, man, he either held on to the ball too long. And when he threw the ball, he's throwing it in double coverage. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? I'm like, why is it so hard for our organization, man, to develop a quarterback, man? I'm from there. I lived there for many years before I came to New York, and I still root for these guys. And it's just like we just can't get it right, man, when it comes to develop. And it's really PO-ing me, man. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to the Giants game this weekend. Mm-hmm. Want to give shout out to the defense, man. Dominique Robinson, Roquan, Kyler Gordon, all them dudes. They did a great job doing what they did with the scheme. But I just don't understand, man. Like I'm tired of being disappointed, man. From all of these different Craig Krenzel and all these bums we didn't had over these years and all this crap, man. And like everybody gets a quarterback later on down the line. When are we gonna get a quarterback that plays efficiently? And the right way, man. Peace and love. Love you guys. Talk to you guys later on during the week, man.
Derek, we appreciate the phone call. I understand your frustration. 8 for 17, 106 yards is not good enough. It's just not good enough. Not against Houston, not against anybody. Well, you know, you can make an excuse for a monsoon. You could say, well, the Green Bay is better. Against Houston, that's where you're supposed to be able to get better. And again, shout out to the offensive line for opening up the running lanes. I love that the Bears are able to run the football. But the other side has to happen. You've got to be able to make plays down the field. The idea that Cole Kmet is just getting receptions is not good enough. Just isn't. But again, this is what happens when everyone's learning together. And it's not going to happen by osmosis. It's not going to happen just because you wanted to. It's a process for everybody, including the head coach. We'll hear from Justin Fields and Matt Eberflus and take more of your phone calls coming up. It's a Bears victory Monday as the Bears win 23-20. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10. We got Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock here on Cap and Jay Hood. An hour from now, we'll hear from Courtney Cronin as we go inside the Bears locker room with her. Courtney covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago, so she'll be with us coming up at 8:35. Glad you're in with me this morning for a Bears victory Monday. Hey, the Bears won, and there was some good, and there was some questionable, and there was some weird in the game as the Bears hold on to win, scoring 10 points in the second half to be able to win that game 23-20. You know, we talk about trust all the time when it comes to the quarterback and the head coach. They've got to be on the same page. And so late in the first half, second quarter, right? So as I look at this, as I was watching the game, I was thinking, okay, well, the Bears can move the football some here. There's an opportunity for them to do something. But if you watch the game like I did, late in the second quarter, there is time for the Bears to be able to do something. You got three timeouts, 35 seconds, first down, all three timeouts. And what happens? The Bears just play it safe. They allowed the clock to run down into halftime as if the timeouts carried over into the second half. The more I see something like that, the more I believe the coaching staff isn't ready for Justin Fields and for him to be in a position to be able to do certain things in game situations. Do you see that? You have three timeouts. You got 35 seconds. It's first down. It's like, nah, that's okay. We'll just go in the locker room. The fans were booing the Bears off the field, booing Eberflus off the field. Why did that happen? Because of mismanagement or just not thinking, okay, well, we don't want to give up another interception or we don't want anything bad to happen, so we'll just run to the locker room. People were not happy with that. Eberflus, were you happy the way you managed the game?
Yeah, there was a lot of decisions, and I think we did a nice job of working with the offense and defense and special teams, working with the coordinators we went through, and it turned out in our favor this time.
All those timeouts at the end of the first half.
Yeah, so right there we were at 46 seconds. So we want to bring that down on the minus field to 35 seconds because they had multiple timeouts. Because if you get that first down, you get and they bang timeouts, and we punt the ball, then they have a rebuttal drive, okay? But here's where we got to be better, okay? Because we were in 13 personnel going third and one, okay? And then we subbed. Once I saw him sub there, I should have called timeout at 35 seconds, and we had been five. So I got to be better there on that situation right there. We're going from 13 personnel back to 11 once we got the first.
Doesn't call a timeout, doesn't do anything in that situation. But he throws himself under the bus. So, as I mentioned, growing pains. First-year head coach, first-year offensive coordinator, really first opportunity for Justin Fields to have full autonomy of the offense as a starter. A lot of question marks. Let's take your phone calls. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Are the Bears prioritizing winning games over developing Justin Fields? You okay with that? Let's go to Joey G. There he is in Melrose Park on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Joey.
Good morning, Hoodie. How are you, Pally?
I'm well. Thanks for checking in this morning.
Yeah, I know. It's a rare oddity that I'm checking in without Cap being there. But I figured I'd step up to class today.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. We always like to hear your thoughts.
And I want to give Shay his kudos for doing double duty.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the game. Buddy, you never leave three timeouts on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Again, kudos to the run offense. And then, of course, the growing pains with the passing offense.
Mm-hmm.
The question I have for you, Hoodie, and I hate to say this, that Lombardi idiot that has his podcast and said he can't read, Justin can't read down the field. Are you skeptical that this guy could be right?
Well, Joe, you know what I would tell you? That's still to be determined. Isn't the jury out on that? Are we looking at Justin Fields just through three games and that garbage that he went through with Nagy and determining that he can't read a defense? I think the jury's still out, isn't it?
I agree. The jury's still out. We got to learn. And you know what else I like? They let Cole Kmet back into Soldier Field.
I know. He got two receptions. I was happy to see that. I was happy for him to get in the passing game. He's been helping the offensive line, and I like that he's blocking. But I like for him to be able to be part of the offense as well. Here's one thing. If you're listening to me for the first time, or if you're a longtime listener, part of Cap and J-Hood Nation, you know what I'm going to say. I am not going to judge Justin Fields just solely on three starts in 2022. You can. I will not. If you want to do what they do on television with first things first and get up and first take, you go right ahead. You think that he sucks and thinks it'll never get better, that's fine. You can have that opinion, and I'll listen to it. But if you want my opinion on it, you cannot judge a quarterback and say, okay, well, that's done. Can't read a defense, and he can't get the ball down the field. That guy will never be any good. I will never say that. I want to see a full body of work. I want him, first of all, to stay healthy. When he got hurt in the game, I thought, oh, God, here comes Simeon. Like, this is the last thing you want is for the starting quarterback to go down. I will not tell you that Justin Fields can't be the quarterback of the Bears based on three games. You can't. I will not. I just know one thing. Everything's got to get better. And this is a guy that you're listening to right now had the Bears going 7-10 this year. So there was going to be underachievement and some problems anyway if I have them 7-10. But if you look at this team, you could see that there's holes. Compare the Bears to good teams in the NFL. That tells you all you need to know about how the Bears are bereft of some quality players that can make a difference. Let's go back to the phone lines. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Tom in Oaklawn on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Hoodie. You know, it was kind of funny how you said that the Bears are JV, because I was at my son's St. Christina JV game, and I think they threw the ball more downfield than the Bears did.
Shots down the field, yeah.
Yeah. So did their varsity too. So they scored like two touchdowns on long pass plays. I mean, where's Justin Fields' long pass plays touchdowns? I'm waiting for them to turn into the great Mount Carmel Frank Leahy triple option teams a little bit. So yeah. The way that they're running the ball, and I mean, I understand their coaches. They want to win, you know, sure, as fans, you know, deep down, we want to win games, especially against, you know, a team like the Texans where we should win. But come on, can't we have our cake and eat it, too, where we could win and we could also have a quarterback that's throwing over 300 yards passing? I can't remember the last time a Bears quarterback, you know, threw for over 300 yards passing. I can't remember a quarterback who threw for over 275, 250. I can go on. So, and is it because he can't make the throws? Or is it because we can't protect them? Is it because we don't have weapons? Is it all of the above? You know, help me out, Hoodie.
I think,
you know, I'm just a Southside Bears fan. I need your help.
I'm the same as you. There's no difference. You know, listen, I think it's all of the above. I think it's a process in which Justin Fields has to be able to take more shots down the field. It cannot just be exclusively the running game. If you don't have splash plays, it limits your opportunity to really be able to put points on the board. I love that the Bears run the football. And again, I can't say enough for the offensive line, but it's got to get better. Right, Justin?
Just the picks, that's, you know, one of our keys to victory on offense is, you know, 100% ball security. So really just a turnover. You know, the incomplete passes, missed the throws out there today, but, you know, really just the interceptions and stuff that I can control, I would say.
Hey, he said interceptions are things that he can control. There's no question. And if he's still doing this, you know, late in November and December, if he hasn't gotten out of the bad habits, it's like, okay, when will the will the learning curve start to turn in the right direction for this offense and for Justin Fields? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. If you got a chance to watch the game, if you're at Soldier Field, we want to hear your thoughts on this Bears victory Monday. The Bears win, and we will hear more from Matt Eberflus on the defensive side of the football and get your thoughts. It's Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Brown, the great Alex Brown from our family here at ESPN with Daz, will join us at 9 o'clock. So we'll get his thoughts about the Bears. I know that he's not happy about some of the things we saw defensively based on text messages I've had with Alex. So he will join us at 9 o'clock here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. It's interesting, Shay, you know what we're going to get. We always have had the comparison to the quarterback class, right, that Justin Fields is in. And so when you see young quarterbacks being able to flourish, says a lot about what the Bears have and what others have offensively.
Well, and that's what I would offer to you, because I think if you really want to get down, like you said, compare the Bears to good teams, compare the Bears to really talented teams and what they look like. How about we compare them to a team that's similarly talented? If you ask PFF, if you value them, this team grades out very similarly to you in pass blocking scenarios. I think they're very similar to you in terms of talent. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars. You have Trevor Lawrence, who had as horrible of a rookie season situation as you could possibly imagine. Probably worse than Fields, given his head coach was the worst in football and left the team. It doesn't get worse than the situation he had. Then you look at what they have on this offense. Evan Ingram, that's a guy who's bounced around this league like a pinball. He got pulled off the scrap heap. He's been made good. You have Zay Jones, another guy who's bounced around. Christian Kirk, another guy who's bounced around. These are scrap heap guys on that offense. And you've got Travis Etienne effectively playing his rookie year coming off of injury. Guess what? They're first place in their division. Their quarterback's playing incredible football. And they just beat the Chargers in L.A. 38 to whatever. Now Justin Herbert had a fractured rib, but you look at that team and you go, whoa, that quarterback looks really impressive, and he had a horrible situation a year ago.
Well, so, you think about this. When you have an idea offensively, that's what it starts to look like, right? You put Urban Meyer in that situation, more than likely you're not getting that kind of production if you are Lawrence and the Jags. It's interesting, isn't it? Someone with an idea offensively.
Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
Turns out he was the genius in Philadelphia. But, I mean, Hoodie, that team might win the division. That's a second-year quarterback who came from a very similar situation as Fields a year ago. And he just looks great. So, why can't Fields look like that? That's what I want to know. Why aren't we trying to develop this kid?
Here's Space. Space is joining us here on ESPN 1000. Okay, Space, what's your idea?
What's going on, Hoodie? How you feeling, man?
I'm great.
Look, good. I'm a little excited. I mean, that's a good question. Why can't Fields look like that? I think we got to put more around him. You know, if you think about what they did in Philly, they went out and got A.J. Brown, a premier receiver. So when you think about Josh Allen, they went out and got Stephon Diggs, a premier receiver. We got to get some more help. I think they're trying to build the right way. Offensive line looked a lot better. I'm not mad with them running the ball. Go with what's working. It worked in Green Bay. You know, ride the horse. It looks like, I don't know what's going on with Montgomery, but Herbert came in and looked phenomenal. He 130-something yards?
Mm-hmm.
Two touchdowns? I mean, he just looks strong. So I'm not mad at the game plan. But we got to bring more for Justin Fields. I like his accountability, how he stepped up and said, hey, I was trash. Yes, Fields, this was one of the first games I looked at you, and you didn't make the right reads. You were off on some of your throws. But the defense, Roquan really made us ask the question, should we just pay him? I mean, why not? 16 tackles and an interception. Eddie Jackson is playing like Eddie Jackson of old Pro Bowl Eddie Jackson. So, I mean, man, the Bears, we got some good things going. We just got to continue to build. That's the key.
Space, I'm glad you checked in. I appreciate your phone call. Speaking of the defense, yeah, Roquan Smith with that key play in the fourth quarter to help Cairo Santos get in position for that game-winning field goal. Eberflus on Roquan.
I just think he's getting comfortable in the defense. You know, I thought the linebackers played downhill. You know, so it's a big difference between going from a 3-4 to a 4-3. You know, I've had a lot of linebackers because we switched over You know, when I was in Dallas, we switched over. When I went to Indy, there were 3-4s going to a 4-3. And what happens is it's different. You play off the defensive lineman in front of you a little bit different. And it's more of a speed position. It's more of a downhill attacking position rather than a lateral slide position. So I just think he's starting to really feel that. You know, he's starting to feel that downhill speed that he can get, and it's coming along. And that's happened the three places I've been before.
I'm a Roquan Smith fan. Pay him, don't pay him, he's going to be a factor for whatever team he plays for. Chicago Heights, here's Lewis on ESPN 1000. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, good morning, Hody. How are you?
I'm well.
Hey, listen, man. I think a lot of callers are saying the same thing that I want to say. And I just want to let Chicago know. I'm a diehard Bears fan, mm-hmm. but I'm looking at these numbers, man. I didn't even know who David Mills was. But Justin Fields has 297 passing yards through week three.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath him is Trey Lance, who hasn't played a game. He's injured. Underneath him is Dak Prescott, who's injured. And then underneath that is Jordan Love, who's obviously a backup in Green Bay. There's just no – we see what he's putting out on the field. It's not good, man.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And it's got to get better. That's what we've been talking about, Lewis. It does have to get better. 8-for-17, 106 yards against the Texans? No. Hell no. That's got to be better. And maybe that's the Giants game. Maybe that's moving forward. But understand that coming in, it was not going to be this finished product. You know, for every quarterback that you draft doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to the Hall of Fame or be a perennial playoff quarterback. For Justin Fields, the hope is that the Bears have found their guy. At this point in time, it's not looking good, but I'm not throwing him out just because the offense has struggled. Hell, I've seen struggling offenses for years in this town. So what I'm looking at is that you've got to have a passing game. If you don't, you're not going to win many ball games. We got shot or no shot in 2 minutes right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.